Yes, he is. The book of Daniel. I want to invite your attention there for just a few minutes as we reflect on something that is critical to every one of us in our journey. Daniel chapter 1. Now, we've got it on the screens, but I think it's good for you to pull it up in your Bible. And whether it's on some electronic device or you got your own Bible, because you can make some notes there and be able to help you grow in your faith as you trust God. It reads, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to his house of his gods. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, everybody say, Abednego. You may be seated. I want to just share a thought today, keeping the faith in changing time. Keeping the faith in changing times. Adam Clayton Powell used to always say, keep the faith, baby. If ever that was an important theme, that time has come that we need to worry about keeping our faith. I know you got a lot on your mind. I know some of you are a little bit troubled because you will see and have a transition of government, and you're not sure about this Donald S. Trump. Is that all right? But let me just break this news to you. Ain't a thing you can do about it. Are y'all still here? I want to say that because we read that time is always changing. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold on to who? Hold on to who? God's unchanging hand. I might have a little bit of trouble with this sermon. That's all right. I'll get amen from the lights. We're living in changing times, and these changing times will often mean that there are the loss of certain things in order that they might be replaced with other things. You must never forget that you are a child of God. God will never leave you helpless, and he will never leave you hopeless. You got to keep your hands in the Lord's hand. Will that preach? When you think about changing times, it is inevitable. I know some of us, we think that we're going to always remain the same. You're going to always have money in your bank account. You're You can always stay young. That's why you go to the store and buy stuff, help you stay young, because you want to be young. But time don't lie. It has a way of reminding you, you're getting old. But I know there are three things that we will find in these passages. One is that change comes by the way of losses. As you look back over 2024 and prior years, you can say to yourself, I've lost some things. But as Garland just sung a few minutes ago, but you're still here. You'll also find in these passages that there will be a reference to opportunities. My mother used to tell me, beware of opportunities. They may come in plain bags, and you could very easily pass them by if you're not careful. Then lastly, opportunities come because of temptations. Now you've got to make a choice. Do I go right or do I go left? Do I give in or do I stay strong? Say this with me. Change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. What I want to do and what I feel the need is to equip you that when these things begin to happen, you might be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We must never forget that you're a child of God. You're of a different kingdom. You belong to God Almighty. And the kingdom that we're talking about is eternal. It is not something that is temporary. So as we've been encouraged to do so, you got to make sure that you're holding on to God's unchanging hand. Speaking of losses, here's an interesting thought. Faith does not look at what is lost. So if you're looking at what's lost, you're not applying your faith. Faith may say, I've lost some things, but then focuses on what still remains. And notice this, and yet to come. Yet to come. How many of y'all been watching your favorite program on TV? All of a sudden, you get interrupted by the sponsors of that program. But before they leave and transition into the advertisement, they will tell you still to come. In other words, they don't want you to switch the dial like my wife does. They want you to hold on. Look at somebody for the first time, tell them, hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on. What if you, what if I, we're living in the time of 606 B.C. when the armies of Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem. They were there not to protect them. They were there to take away. They had come to invade that land because, as you note from verse 1, or verse 2 rather, it said the Lord delivered. The Lord delivered. That means God gave them over to the Chaldeans. Why? They had been disobedient. Prophets would come to them and tell them the word of the Lord. We don't want to hear that. We're going to do what we want, just like today. Preacher, preach, tell you what's right. Aye, Reb, I hear you. I ain't going to play the lottery no more. Oh, oops, I didn't mean to step on your toe. I'm sorry. But then Israel had to pay for its sin. Why? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Payday is going to come sooner or later. You can't do your dirt today and not expect to pay sometime in the future. Unless you do something about that sin, it's going to come back and it's going to require the full payment. I remember the first time I bought something on time, as the folks used to call it, on time. I made the mistake of thinking they wasn't going to ask for their payment. But they wrote me in the mail, you owe this. They'll let you take it out, but you got to pay after a while. Anybody in the church, listen to what I'm saying. You got to pay. You got to pay. If you don't want to pay, take them folks their stuff back. Give it. And if you don't give it back, guess what they're going to do? They call repossession. The point is, Israel had to pay for their sin. They had to pay for the things that they had done in disobedience to God, bowing down to idols. And we say we don't have idols today, but we've got plenty of them. Plenty of them. One of them you hold in your hand. You depend more on that than you do on your Bible. It gets more attention than the Lord does. Come on, talk to me up in here. And they had to pay. They had to get to the place where they recognized that the Lord had allowed these things to happen. The problem is when one person in the family is doing wrong, it can mess up the whole family. The whole family. It can begin to impact everybody in the family just because of what one person is doing. And so we find out that here is Daniel. Here is Hananiah. Here is Azariah, here are these Hebrews now being carried away, Mishael, they're being carried away, ushered out of their homeland into a strange country. They suffered losses. They suffered losses. Some of you said, well, I didn't do anything, and why am I having to go through all of this pain and suffering in my life? By the way, I just want to put this in here right now, because some of y'all got this puzzled look on your face. You got bigger fish to fry than to worry about who's in the White House. I guarantee you that if the doctor came to you tomorrow and he told you this is your state of being, you're going to start moving your mind from all of that stuff and starts, I got to worry about my health. I got to worry about my strength. I went to the doctor this year thinking that I was fine. The doctor said, you got a little bit of a heart problem. Now I thought to myself, I'm 72, so yeah, it's bound to happen sooner or later. So what I do about it, I begin to focus on the things that are most important in my life. They are called priorities. Now, that's next Sunday, Lord. That's next Sunday. No, he told me to tell you today. Don't worry about the White House because God is in charge of every house. Do y'all get that? He said, I got it. I got this in my hand. You ain't got to worry about it. But I'm going to read y'all a 2,600-year-old letter next Sunday. Be here, and I'm going to read you that letter next Sunday so that you can understand it ain't coming from me. It's coming from the Lord. Amen? Y'all good? All right, let's move on. Let's move on. So here's the losses. They now have to leave their homeland. Oh, by the way, they did not have horses or chariots for them to ride over from Jerusalem to Babylon. They had to walk. Many of them didn't have the clothing. Oh, by the way, they didn't have tents to stay under while they were in transition. They slept, and the dew fell on them because they were sleeping on the ground, barely having enough food to eat. Just trying to get by. How many of you this year have said to yourself, I'm just trying to get by? How many times have you said to yourself, people ask you, how are you doing? I'm just holding on. I'm just hanging in there. It's hard. Because now the losses are beginning to add up. These same four, along with the other captives, now come into Babylon not knowing what is next, not knowing what else is going on. They have no temple to worship in. Matter of fact, some of the artifacts that they had in their temple at Jerusalem, guess where they are now? they're over in the temple of Baal or either some other god that the Chaldeans were worshiping, and now they don't even have a place to go to church. What am I going to do? Daniel said, I got one suggestion. Open your window toward Jerusalem. God will hear you. They did not realize that the same God that had allowed their losses was walking with them on their journey. Can I tell you what Grandma said? He walks with me. Through your losses, through your pain, through your heartache. You're saying to yourself, God, I don't know whether I can take one more day. God said, just take one more step. I'll take care of the day. The Lord gave them over into the hand of the Chaldeans. Gave them. No, the Babylonians didn't conquer Jerusalem. They did not conquer Judah. They came in and invaded because the Lord allowed them. I know what you're doing. Some of you are looking at your losses. You're saying, is that you mean that God allowed what I'm going through right now, knowing that it would cost me pain and heartache? Yes. Don't ask me for an explanation because I can't tell you. I still got a big question mark over my head. See it? See it? Yes, sir. I don't know why these painful moments come. But I tell you what, I know who I can run to when I got my issues. How many times have you said to yourself in your losses, well, looks like I have to start over. Are y'all there? You can't go back. They're not going to let you. The Chaldeans is like time. They have locked up where you used to be. Time says, you ain't going back there. Oh, for the good old days. You ain't going back there. You are in this moment of time, so pay attention. God wants your complete attention so that he can give you further, I like that, instructions. Here they are, ushered into this strange land. They've given up now. Notice they've given up their homeland. They've given up all the property, all their possession that they had in Judah. They're no longer in Judah. Now they are in the land of the Chaldeans. Now they are subject to whatever the folks that's controlling them, they're subject to that. You might say they have to go along to get along. Not only did they take their property, possessions, even the articles of worship, the artifacts that they had worshiped, they're all in the house of Baal or some of these other places where they would go. Nebo and all of that, by the way, Abednego, that's the dedication of a god. As you can see, they take away their freedom. They also take away their name. They take away your name. It says that to Daniel, he was given the name Belteshazzar, which means he can be trusted by Baal. Daniel probably said to himself, what? My mama told me, it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. If you know who you are, you ain't got to worry about getting confused. Mama was right. To Hananiah, they gave the name Shadrach, which also was dedicated to a god. They took away their names. Mishael, they gave the name Meshach. And we call them, the last one here, Abednego. We like that. But that was not their name. Their names had been stripped from them. I remember joining the military. And on the night that I entered into the military service, I had on this cool shirt. Collars came down my arm. I mean, these wide. I mean, it was wide. Had on this cool hat because I like being dressing cool, and I had bell bottoms on and platform shoes. I was cool. On the night I joined the military, they took every single piece of clothing article down to the socks. They said, "You're no longer that person. You're a GI. Government issue." I was nothing but a number. But down in my soul, I still remembered where I came from. Good God. I wish I could. I still remembered some folks back home was praying for me. Call me what you want to. People will call you names. They will nickname you by your habit. Something you did. Now you got the name. But you need to tell folks you don't know who I am. People that have been on drugs, now people say, "You ain't nothing but a pothead. You ain't nothing but a drug." But you don't know what God can do. Y'all excuse me if I take my time and preach. I'm old now. I got an excuse. I got a hall pass. It said you can take your time because you're old. Losses. And the losses kept adding up. I didn't recognize it until the other day when I read the passage. It said that the prince of the eunuchs, which is a person who's been stripped of their manhood physically. Guess what happened to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? They took that away from them. They're probably asking, "Lord, how much can I take?" But then there was something on the inside kept telling them, "Go ahead, go ahead." I say this right here in January of this year because some of you have had some severe losses. You cried at night. You pleaded with God. "Lord, when's my change going to come? How long do I have to keep waking up to this nightmare? How long do I have to endure this pain and suffering that I'm going through?" And God answers back, "My grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I'm strong." What good news. Oh, it gets a little bit worse. Look at somebody, tell them it's going to get worse before it gets better. They're looking at their losses. They see now that they've lost everything, but then they resolve in their heart, if we got to start over, guess what we're going to do? We're going to start over. That's why this thing is called a new year. Do y'all get that? You don't have to relive your past. You don't have to go back and pick up the pieces of what used to be. God says, "I am in control and you have a future." I'll get into that on next Sunday because you couldn't stand it today. Opportunity has a way of knocking. But you got to make sure that you're alert. Everything that they looked at, they saw it was not going well with them. But then all of a sudden, a spark of hope, something on the inside of them told them, God's still here. God has not abandoned his people. And that's what I want you to realize today. Even though you may be going through some tough times economically, there may be things happening in your life, in your family. And Lord knows as you get older, stuff going to happen in your health. It's just going to happen. Sometimes I get on the side of my bed and I kneel down because I don't want to fall. You take this kind of medication, make no sudden turns. It may cause dizziness. Next thing you know, you're holding on to stuff. Second time, say, "Hold on." So here are these four, along with other Jews. By the way, some of the other Jews couldn't take it. You ever seen people give up? They stop coming to church. Why did I go to church for? It's not doing me any good. All because God doesn't go by your time clock. By the way, he doesn't wear a watch. He keeps time. Well, I like that. Some of y'all, what? It'll come back around. Pay attention. If God puts you in a time of trouble, guess what he's going to do? He's automatically obligated himself to help you if you call. Automatically. At some point, he wants to show you, I'm God. I don't need all these perfect conditions. I don't need all of these things to happen. I make the sunshine when I get ready. And when I want darkness to come, I just pull the drapes and it's dark. He said, I'm God. It takes us a while to really wrap our minds around that, but you got to trust him. You will never understand him, but you can always trust him. He's almighty. And as Reverend Ray says, he's good. They had to go through some things. Now there was a suggestion. Here comes opportunity. Aspenaz, prince of the eunuchs, or master of the eunuchs, came and he was charged by Nebuchadnezzar. What I want you to do is take these young boys, and I want you, these young men, take them, and I want you to now train them. Train them in what? Chaldean way. I want you to make sure they understand our literature, our language, and our gods. How many of you know that even though learning might come through a bad teacher, but if you're going to learn, you're going to learn. What America needs right now is to repent. You hear what I'm saying? We need to get on our knees and start telling God, Lord, we have failed you. And we need to turn around. We need to get things right with you. Amen? So here comes the opportunity. Here comes the opportunity. Aspenaz comes to Daniel, Mishael, and Hananiah, and Azariah, says to them, boys, I got the opportunity of a lifetime. You're going to learn everything the Chaldeans know. They're probably saying to themselves, I don't know about this. I don't know. I'm a little Jewish boy. I'm brought up in Jewish ways. I know the law of God, but you're not in Judah. The point is, you're not going to be always in the church. You're going to be in the world. You got to know what's going on. Jesus said, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Are y'all listening? You don't want to be so religious that you run away from the opportunities that God is offering. Here's the point that I'm making. As you look at opportunities and as they come your way, you don't have to do everything that they tell you. We're going to get to that in just a second, but as we notice, they had to learn the ways of the Chaldeans, and they had to adjust to that. They had to make sure that they adjusted. And what you got to do is you got to make sure that you're always adjusting. Your faith will often lead you to a place where you got to now make adjustments in your life. Guess what my doctor told me? You got to change your diet. What if I want French fries? Guess what I got to do? Got to give that up. What if I like shaking salt? Guess what I got to do? If you want to live, here's the whole point. If spiritually you want to live and not just get by, you better follow God's diet of the word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I noted something about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I noted that no matter what was happening in their life, they never once gave up on their faith. They always remember that God was in control. And that's what you got to realize, and that's what I've got to realize. God is in control, and he never stops loving you. He's going to always care and love for you. Let me speed on and get through this. My wife is looking at me, giving me signals and saying, you got to hurry up. The hymn says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Part of that process of their training would now mean, if we can't get you by teaching you our culture, we're going to get you by eating our food and enjoying life. You're going to live it up. Boys, you get ready. You're going to have the diet of your life. Not just food from the market. They're going to get food that was put on Nebuchadnezzar's table. Best chefs cooking the food. Best wine. They'd be able to drink it. Just enjoy it. What they were trying to do is to brainwash them into thinking, see, your way wasn't that good after all. Now we're going to give you all this stuff. And at that point, Daniel said, hold up. Notice this next action. He says that, you know, I want to be a child of God no matter what I am. And here's the point that Maya Angelou makes. She says, I can be changed by what happens to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it. Man, it's cool. I love that. Daniel did something in his heart. And what I'm going to ask you to do today is to do something in your heart, to allow your heart to tell you, I am not going to give in. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, they did all this other stuff to him, took away his name, took away his clothes, took away his humanity, took away everything that he possessed. But he said, I got one thing that you can't take away from me. You can't take my faith. I love the way that Lee Williams said, I refuse. I won't let nobody steal my joy. You got to be able to say to yourself, I know whom I have believed in, and I believe that he is able, everybody say able, to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Look at somebody for the third time and tell them, hold on. You got to make sure that you're holding on. Daniel said, I'm not going to do this thing. He said, well, I refuse to give in. You mean, Daniel, you'll put your life on the line? Let me tell you something. If people tell you to give up your life, amen, if you believe in God, give up your life. You know why? I can't live without him. And as a matter of fact, if I don't live in this world, guess where I am going to live? In a place called glory. Amen. I tell the devil, do me a favor. Do me a favor. If you want to bring some stuff, bring it on, because I will trust in the Lord until when I die. Look at somebody else and tell them, hold on. You got to make sure that you are in this thing for good and that you are serving the living God. Everything that had happened to them, they still held their head up high. They kept marching. They kept believing. And you know why? Because when you get it on the inside, nobody can take it away from you. Here's the reason why. The Holy Ghost will guard your heart and keep your mind. Amen. Some of you would have gone crazy because of all the stuff that was happening in your life. But you held on. You knew that God was going to make a way. They might push you. They might shove you. They might yell at you. But I tell you one thing. You can't take me out of the hands of God. Oh, I believe in him. I trust in him. I know that he'll make a way for me. He didn't bring me this far. Oh, glory to God, to leave me now. I'm about ready to preach up in here. Amen. I don't want to get into the takeaways, but I think you're going to get something out of it. Maya Angelou said that I'll go through the change, but I know the change is not going to reduce me. In other words, I'm going to be a little bit better. I'm going to be a little bit stronger. I'm going to have my mind made up, and my heart is going to be fixed. By the way, child of God, you will never get into glory with a bad attitude. You got to change your attitude. You got to let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Why? Because when you get down, that's all the devil wants you to do is get mad. When you get mad, now you can't do a thing. Why? Because you're mad. But when you let that joy come in your heart, and it begins to flood your mind, you can walk on like you know what you're talking about. Look at somebody, tell them, hold on. I'm having a good time in here. Why? Because I got to cheer myself up. When I get outside these doors, the devil's going to be saying, here I am, you've been talking about me, and I'm going to tell him, wait a minute, I got somebody else. I got a partner here. He will fight with you. Come here, Jesus. Lord, fight my battles for me. And he'll make a way out of no way. Here's the point. Here's the point. Here's the point. Here's how you can hold on. Learn to accept what God allows. If he brought it in your life, he allowed it, and doesn't mean it's going to stay forever. It might stay for a little while, but you hold on and say, well, if God allowed it, that means he's got a plan. Write it down. You're fighting against what God allows. I know where you're going to beat God. One preacher said, your arm too short to box with God. Learn to accept what he allows. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? I'm learning to accept what God allows. How do you learn to accept? You learn how to lean and depend on Jesus. Hold on, somebody. Hold on, child of God. Second thing you got to do, recognize that you are living in a changing world. It's going to be changing all the time, but you hold on. Everything gonna be, you know what I learned? One day I checked my bank account and it's at this amount. Next day I learned, oh, somebody took something out of my account. Then I look down, next thing I find out, oh, that's an automatic draft. Oh man. how many of y'all keep registers? Some of y'all do. The older ones keep registered. Young people say, I just depend on what's in the bank. that's all I got to say to that. You better know. My daddy had a fifth grade education, but he had plenty of sense. I said he had plenty of sense. You know what my daddy told me? He said, now, if you don't know where your money is, somebody else does. I said, my daddy had plenty. What? Recognize that you're living in a changing world. You're living a life going like this. Cut it off. Hold on. Now I got to go home now. Third thing. Don't let the enemy take your faith. They are not that strong. They can't. But you can give them your faith. You can start to say to yourself, it's not going to work out. You don't know what God is going to do. With man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hold on. Hold on. Lastly, and I'm going to my seat. I promise you I'm going to sit down. Keep moving forward. I'm reading an interesting book. It's called 10 Feet Tall by a young man by the name of Farbstein. He had this rare disease that caused him to be a dwarf. Now, don't look at me and call me a dwarf, because I'm not a dwarf. I'm short. As people say, I'm good things come in small packages. is that what they say? Look at somebody say, hold on. But in his book, he brings out the fact that you can't let the last event immobilize you. His having this challenge all of his life, he said that one of the things that kept him positive is he had to keep moving. As I close this message today, there are some of you that you are going to allow the negativity to creep in and allow those positive things that God has built up in your life, you're going to give them away. But if you allow God to keep speaking life to you, you're going to find that you really have something that you can hold on to. In other words, don't keep counting your losses. Count God's promises. Know that he is faithful. Here's what happened to the children of Israel. It's recorded in Psalm 139, I believe it is. they had gotten to the place where they said to themselves, because if you notice as we open up, we talked about the fact, Psalm 137, we talked about the fact that they took many of those people from Judah and from Jerusalem. They carried them captive, but not everybody kept their head up high. So what I want to do is to be a cheerleader in your life. I'm not playing in the field that you, as you are, but I'm cheering you on. Don't allow those things to tell you, well, this is as far as I can go. Here's what they said. Here's what they wrote. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps on the willow trees. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. That's what they would do when they would take the captives. It'd make them sing their war song or their praise song. And many of the people of Israel did exactly that. They gave up. I know some of you, can I preach? Have gone through some stuff this year. And you don't want to go back there, but you think about what you've been through. But here's where you ought to praise God. You ought to praise God that you don't look like what you've been through. Here's another thing that will help you. If you can just come to a place where there's worship, or either in your house, and you start giving God your best praise. Right in the middle of your problem, you start giving him, Lord, I'm going to give you every thank you that I can give you. I'm going to give you every utterance of worship that I can give you. I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to bless you because you didn't change. And this situation is not going to change me. I may have to cry sometime, but I'm going to sing because I'm happy. I'm going to sing because I'm free. Why? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. Pat yourself on the shoulder and say, I know he watches over me. Last time, hold on just a little while longer, that everything is going to be all right. I said, hold on just a little while longer. Everything is going to be all right. Can I get a witness in this building? Listen. Oh, Christian, we are living in the last and evil day. And I know that our way is gonna seem hard. Oh yeah. But we will remember of God. Oh, he's more than whole world against us. You got to do is hold on just a little while. And everything. A little while long, and everything. There was a place called Egypt land. It was under Pharaoh's command, and he had God's people in bondage there. Oh yeah. And when they prayed, they had to steal away. These are the words I know God's people would say. We got to hold on
a little while longer.
Everything's
gonna be alright.
Hold on
a little while longer.
Let's try sometime.
Hold on.
me preach overtime here. You let me preach overtime. I'm going to say a simple prayer, and then we're going to get ready to go. We're going to get ready to close. But we want to give the invitation. If there be one today that you're without Christ, without hope in this world, you need to put your trust in God. Simply put, you've got to trust in Him. You've got to trust in Him. Those of you that are online, I know that you can't come in here, but you can say, I want Jesus to reign in my heart. I'm going through some hard times. I'm going through some pressures, preacher, and I need God. All you got to do is say a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me, and God will do just that. He wants to save you if you want to be saved. Trust Him. Know that He's God. Now, saints, let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I trust you.
I trust you
to always, take care of me.
Take care of me.
No matter where I am.
No matter where I am.
Give me strong faith.
Give me strong faith.
To know that you, will work all things.
Work all things.
Will work all things.
Work all things.
For my good.
For my good.
And your glory.
And your glory.
Let me be a witness.
Let me be a witness.
For Jesus.
For Jesus.
Everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go.
Let the song of praise.
Let the song of praise.
Be in my heart.
Be in my heart.
And on my lips.
And on my lips.
I pray in Jesus' name.
I pray in Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Real quick, they're going to give me the invitation. If there's anyone that needs to come and give your life to the Lord. Maybe you said, I want to be a part of the church. We invite you to come. If you Lord spoke to you. I know that those online, you can't come in here, but you can write to us. Go to our website and click on where it says email pastor, and I'll get it. I'll get it, and I'll be able to respond to you. May the Lord bless you as you follow me. Amen. Amen. Brother Joe is going to come and dismiss us in prayer, but we got a song, and we'll sing it good.
Woke up this morning, said I was feeling fine, had my health and strength clothed in my right mind. Didn't have to worry, nor didn't have to be afraid. He's been so good to me, that's why I wanna say, Lord, I thank you. Storm and rain, sometimes crying, going through pain. You were there in the midst of my time. Lord, I'm standing here. Storm and rain, sometimes crying, going through pain. You were there in the midst of my time. Lord, I'm standing here, not wasting time to tell you what I thank you for. Crying, going through pain. in the midst of my time. Lord, I'm standing here, not wasting time. Oh, you,
I thank you
for
all
you've done.
You've done.
Lord, I.
You know, Pastor, I just appreciate this sermon. You know, as I was listening, you know, when you went to verse 4, it talks about how the king picked out the handsome men able to do so many things. And guess what happened? At the end, they hurt his feelings. They didn't eat the food simply because they loved the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much. Father, we thank you that you are able, oh God, to do exceedingly abundant above what we ask. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you, oh God, for the man of God that you have chosen to speak to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for illuminating our hearts and our minds so that we can learn, so that, oh God, we can live this place with the attitude of going out sharing with others the good news of the gospel. We thank you, we praise you. We do thank you, O God, for this opportunity that you have given to us now to participate in the offering. Lord, we know that you love a cheerful giver. And we know, dear Lord, that when we give from our hearts, that you are honored. We thank you for that privilege, and we ask, O God, your blessings upon it, so that men and women, boys and girls, no matter where they are, may have an opportunity to hear your word proclaimed and receive Jesus. Thank you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.